even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Now, ADHD, they're letters, and it's an acronym that we hear quite a lot. It stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And ADD stands for Attention Deficit Disorder. So ADHD, it's a neurodevelopmental condition that can cause memory issues, problems concentrating, focusing, or sitting still. And a late diagnosis can have a negative impact on relationships and careers, as well as increase the risk of mental health problems such as anxiety, depression and eating disorders. The UK-wide ADHD Foundation said it's seen a 400% rise in adults going to them compared to before the COVID-19 pandemic. So clearly it is something that is, there's certainly a greater awareness of, I'm not saying it's become more common, but there's certainly a greater awareness of ADHD being diagnosed in adulthood. And to talk about this, here is Claire Loftus. Hello, Claire, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. So tell us your story, Claire. What was it that made you think that you should have some sort of testing to test if you were living with either of those conditions, ADD or ADHD?
So it's not actually me, it's my husband. So I suppose our journey started about 3 years ago with one of our daughters, Poppy, who is 8 now. From when she was a toddler, I kind of felt that she was different to my elder daughter, and I know obviously children are different, but there was just something about her in her sort of mannerisms and how she conducted herself. And then when she was in P2, she was having speech therapy, and it was on speech therapy online because it was during COVID, and it was the speech therapist who had said, oh, does Poppy have ADHD, because she's showing, you know, some tendencies. And so at that point we got Poppy put on the waiting list, and I suppose it's taken us quite a long time. That was in P2. Poppy's now in P4, and she just got diagnosed just before Christmas. And I suppose over the last sort of two and a half years, we've done quite a bit of research about ADHD and reading up about it so that we can help support her. And from that, we have identified that my husband also is likely to have ADHD. And I mean, it explains. You know, lots of things about his character and how he interacts with other people. And from that, he has gone to his GP to see about trying to get a diagnosis. And that's where we're now encountering some challenges.
Okay. But why is that important? How does a diagnosis help?
So, I mean, for us with our daughter, we wanted to get her diagnosed to support her through school and her interactions. And from that, we had met with her consultant, and we had talked about medication. And I mean, I remembered listening to, it was a Stephen Bartlett, actually, interview with a doctor who specialises in ADHD. And he had said that if you have ADHD and talking about medication, that it's basically like wearing glasses. If you need glasses, I mean, it's there to really support you. So we started Poppy on medication in December, and within 3 days of her taking it, she came home from school and said that her days were just getting better and better.
That's fantastic.
And we know that, yeah. And as a parent, I actually felt really upset because you sort of feel, you know, that you should have done something sooner, but obviously we couldn't have moved any quicker really than what we were. But we know that the medication will have a profound difference for Stephen as well, but the medication is a controlled drug, so you obviously need to go through and get a diagnosis and everything else, and it needs to be with a psychiatrist rather than a psychologist.
Wow. So you have all of those steps to go through with Stephen. First of all, congratulations with Poppy and with her development and with her happiness, which is the most important thing. The fact that she feels happier going to school and she feels stronger in herself going to school. That's terrific. But Stephen.
Absolutely. I mean,
we
tried with Poppy other things as well. We'd gone through some performance breakthrough. They do some specialist therapy, sort of physical therapy, and we'd Poppy had been taking lion's mane extract as well, which my husband takes too, and those things have made a difference too, but I suppose the cumulative effect with the medication as well has really made the big difference, and I suppose that's what we want for Stephen too. I mean, he turns 50 next year, and he spent the last sort of 50 years of his life, you know, struggling, which we obviously haven't realised that, but now we know that this will make a huge difference for him. And when we met Poppy's consultant before Christmas, he was amazing, and he explained to us that if you have ADHD, you're more likely to get in trouble with the law, you're more likely to end up in prison, you're more likely to become an addict, you're more likely to suffer from mental health issues and other conditions as well. You know, there's so many benefits, I think, from starting medication or from getting the right support in place. Because obviously medication might not help everybody, but I think getting the diagnosis is the challenge, particularly if you're an adult. And I have an HR consultancy, and we've noticed a rise in our clients talking about their employees who have had a child who's got diagnosed, and now that there's a parent who's trying to get diagnosed.
Yes, and that's a natural progression. It's a natural reaction to seeing how your child behaves and reacts, and then seeing the same sort of telltale signs in yourself that you therefore want to get a diagnosis. And when Stephen and myself were at school, we weren't tested for ADHD or for any other similar condition. So there must be at least one, if not two generations of people who may have been allowed diagnosis as a child or during adolescence who were denied that, and who have been living with that then, as you say, in Stephen's case, for almost 50 years. How does he feel about the struggle that you're having to get his diagnosis?
I think it's been really challenging because he'd gone to his GP 2 years ago to, you know, shortly after we'd sort of worked out about Poppy, and he was told at that point, you know, he's going to be put on a waiting list. And that's been it. There's been no progress has been made there. And we've explored trying to go privately, but all of the independent places in Northern Ireland, all of their books are closed for private assessments. We can get an appointment over in London. However, locally, the GPs won't accept a shared care agreement. Which means
have they said why not?
They've been told by the DMA that they're not to. Right. Apparently within the Belfast Trust, apparently there's a blanket ban. So it means that if we were to go privately, we'd have to fly over to London, we'd pay for the appointment, which is a good couple of thousand. Then you would have to have reviews every 6 months, and the prescriptions would be private as well, which, you know, you're talking, you know, in the tens of thousands, which is really, it is prohibitive.
It is,
you know,
of course, yes, for anyone.
You know, I think, you know, if it was a private assessment and it was maybe a couple of thousand, you could probably piece together the money, you know, because you know that it would make a difference in the long run. But to know that then it's not going to be accepted by the GP locally is the real challenge. So, I mean, my husband, Stephen, is really resilient. You know, I have suffered with depression and anxiety in the past, and he's not that way inclined. However, for the first time in our relationship, I've seen him really feeling quite hopeless. I think the fact that he's a problem solver, he is amazing at finding solutions, and I think that's probably a trait of ADHD, being able to look at things from different angles. But he, for the first time, I've sort of seen him not being able to problem solve his way out of this situation, and I think that's, for me, it's really concerning, because he never seems depressed or hopeless or anything like that, and now I'm concerned, and there's just no solution to this, you know, and it's really quite desperate.
Gosh, it does sound desperate. And just reading some of the analysis and some of the figures relating to here, to Northern Ireland, is not positive. An investigation by ITV last year found that Belfast had the longest waiting list for children, and adults in Northern Ireland seeking assessment for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, are being forced to go privately, as you have pointed out, because of this dire lack of referral services in some areas, a charity has said. And let's move on to that. If you could hold the line, Claire, and I'll come back to you. But on the other line, we have Peter McReynolds. Peter, the Alliance MLA. How are you today?
Hi, John. Good to talk to you again.
You too. And I hope you're well. And this, why does this particular area of medicine and medical diagnosis, why does it interest you so much?
I suppose it interests me because over the last number of years, I've just become more aware of it in terms of its impact upon adults, which Claire has mentioned there in terms of her husband, Stephen. So any politician in Northern Ireland will, on an annual basis, deal with parents who are fighting to get access to support for their children in terms of a diagnosis of ADHD or maybe increased support. But as you've alluded to there, we're potentially missing out on two generations of people who have, I think the term in the ADHD community is masked all their life, where they've been able to sort of try to control the impact that ADHD has on their lives through copying mechanisms or trying to just sort of hide that and shield the ADHD from the world around them. And they've had to just adapt. Now, that manifests itself in stress, anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, and we have two generations of people now who, you know, as the question that I put to Minister Robin Swan a few weeks ago, do not have services available to them because there is no requirement on the trusts to have lists of people or to record the numbers of people who are waiting for that diagnosis, because ADHD services for adults are not commissioned in Northern Ireland, which is why more and more people are having to go private. But at the same time, the private services are becoming completely overwhelmed as well. So just that lack of support for adults is something that really interests me as ADHD becomes more well-known and more better understood and well-documented as well.
And as you've described there, it is almost like a high-functioning coping mechanism that people have developed over years just to fit in, to cope with the difficulties that ADHD provides within their lives. The way you've described it, though, it doesn't sound hopeful. For someone like Claire and her husband Stephen, where does the hope lie that diagnosis will be available here, and then subsequently that the correct treatments will also be available?
Well, I suppose the hope comes from more and more people speaking out about it. Having this conversation today, you know, it was really interesting hearing Claire speak about what she and her family have gone through. And in a personal capacity, I've become more aware of it because celebrities are beginning to speak out about it. I had first seen it being discussed by Richard Bacon a number of years ago. He was speaking out about his diagnosis with ADHD, yes, and the challenges that he had faced, the masking that he had used all his life. And then realizing actually how I'd been behaving isn't, you know, in speech marks, you know, in inverted commas, normal. And then he was able to get access to better pathways and support. Sam Thompson, who recently won I'm a Celebrity, did a documentary on Channel 4 as well when it comes to ADHD.
And Nikki Campbell, the BBC broadcaster, I say BBC broadcaster, he also does that ITV Long Lost Families programme. And Nicky Campbell has talked about his diagnosis and how he, for years, had to go through a checklist going tick, 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 and then realized that he may fit into this category, this ADHD definition. And as you've said, the coping with that over years had taken its toll on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's supportive partners as well that help these people get through the challenges in their life. But it's these celebrities speaking out, which raises the profile of the condition. And I think that begins to filter down into departments, but also into politicians as well. So, for example, Paula Bradshaw, a former health spokesperson for the Alliance Party, has tabled a motion, which I've signed, that we will call on the minister to take urgent action to ensure that trusts are properly commissioned, which they aren't currently, to diagnose and treat patients and to work so that GPs can enter shared care arrangements to support people. Now, that's a motion that we've tabled in the Assembly. Hopefully, it'll be heard in the coming weeks. And whenever that happens, Robin Swan, as Minister, will respond to that on behalf of the department, slowly shifting the dial, trying to get the department to look at things in a different way that they have before. And hopefully, we'll be able to get these services commissioned.
One of the dangers of us, not just us highlighting this, but of diagnosis that people observe from the outside, is that there is always this temptation to self-diagnose, to think, oh yes, I've got that trait and I do that, and gosh, I make lists, incessant lists that I have to tick off all the time. But there's a danger in that, isn't there, in self-diagnosis, I suppose, in any area of medicine?
I think there is. I mean, I think people that have ADHD, a lot of people can become reliant on alcohol, for example, as a way to sort of cope with the overwhelmingness of the condition. And I think the really important thing is that we're listening to charities and people and experts who are working with people with ADHD. So I sit on the all-party group for ADHD in Stormont, and we do a lot of work with ADD and I, who work with children specifically. It's important to listen to them. It's important to not just take one symptom and realise actually it's a combination that really reflects the diagnosis. You'll know, John, that I have MS. You know, yes. One of the symptoms of MS is pins and needles. Just because if someone has pins and needles doesn't mean they have MS. You need to look at the entire patchwork and the entire jigsaw and realize it's a combination of things which lead to that diagnosis. So I don't think that it'll lead to a sudden rise in people thinking they have ADHD. But it's important that people know that there is support. They know that there is someone that they can go to get access to help to get that diagnosis. But fundamentally, that they're able to be put on that appropriate pathway and support network.
I should have asked you, Peter, when you first came on, how are you?
I'm good. I recently found out that over the last year, there's been no new lesions in terms of my MS, so that was a positive letter to receive from the Trust.
Good. Well, that's positive news. Yeah. I was reading Mum of Three, Sarah Jane O'Donnell, who's on the board of Causeway Neurodiversity. She said that it was frustrating that so many can't get a diagnosis unless you're willing to pay. People just want to know, is this who I am? Is this why my thinking is different to others? And she's called for what you have been defining for us, an ADHD strategy to support children with diagnosed ADHD and adults who do not yet have a diagnosis. And I know that some trusts are more proactive or have more facilities available than others. But in terms of Northern Ireland as a whole, is there any sort of time frame that you could hope for? I'm not asking you to say to give any sort of imperatives, because that would be ridiculous. But is there any hopeful overall strategy time frame that you would be happy to share with the likes of Claire this morning?
I suppose my main sort of message to Claire, I wouldn't want to put dates on it. So I think whenever we're having these conversations, it's important to have these conversations, but it's really important to engage with the experts to find out what are the realities, how long will this take to implement. You know, it's not the kind of thing that you flick a switch and all of a sudden things have changed. I think the important thing is we've got this motion down, tabled in the Assembly. It'll be debated. The Minister will respond. Questions are going in from multiple members. The All-Party Group on ADHD is doing all that it can in terms of shifting that dial and trying to get better services for children and for adults as well. So I think the fact we're having this conversation is hope for people out there that hopefully we will get that change that's needed and that politicians are taking this seriously.
Peter, thank you. Claire, how are you feeling about that?
It's great to hear that Alliance are, you know, trying to push, you know, for some changes in this area, because it is really needed. And I think the thing is as well is that for so many adults and parents, you know, who've maybe realised that actually, hang on, I think I have ADHD, that it's almost like the light is switched on and now you can't turn it off. You can't unknow that,
yes,
you know.
Of course.
So I think being able to then get the support and get the proper diagnosis and whether it's medication or other support, you know, I think that's really key.
Peter, thank you to you for your time today, and we wish you well, and I hope that your health continues to be good. And Claire, thank you to you for your time today, and please pass on our thanks to Stephen for allowing us to share his story, and we wish him well, and we hope that in the near future that his frustration and his powerlessness, which you've described, that is changed utterly by the work of Peter and others. So thank you both very much.
Thank you,
John. Good to talk to you.
Take care.
Next. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.